This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. Despite the pandemic, construction has continued on new projects in the Milwaukee area. Although many of us are more focused on this health crisis, social unrest, and economic turmoil, we're still experiencing a shortage of affordable housing. That shortage, mixed with the financial burden of housing, adds even more stress to these issues. Here in Milwaukee, there has been a renewed interest in building affordable housing, including a large project coming to the city's north side. Tom Dakin is a reporter who covers commercial real estate for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about that project, along with other projects in Milwaukee's north side neighborhoods.
Tom Dakin, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Yeah, glad to be here.
So there's a pretty big project that's happening on Milwaukee's north side that could have a very big impact on the city. Tell us a bit about it.
Yes, it's called the Community Within the Corridor. It's a mix of both affordable apartments, around 200 units of affordable apartments, as well as commercial space and community space, some facilities that would be open to people in the neighborhood to use, as well as serving as a amenity space like a fitness center for the residents of the apartments. And it's being developed in one of the more impoverished neighborhoods on the city's north side. This is in the 30th Street Industrial Corridor, which is the old urban industrial area of Milwaukee that had dozens and dozens of manufacturers throughout much of the 20th century, and it ran along the railroad tracks, which went, not surprisingly, along 30th Street from approximately where Miller Brewing is and Harley-Davidson, all the way north up to, past Hampton Avenue. This particular location is around Center and 32nd Street.
What makes this project so significant for that area, looking at things beyond just the sheer size of this project?
Yes, well, I mean, it is a large project, and it's a $59 million investment that, in a neighborhood that has not seen much real estate investment or really any kind of investment for decades. As a matter of fact, what it's seen is what we call disinvestment, when companies pull out and jobs disappear, and then, well, not surprisingly, we get crime and an increase in drug and alcohol addiction and all the other social ills that accompany situations like that. So it came about because a young African-American developer, Q. Elamine, he has a company called Scott Crawford Incorporated, which is named for his grandparents. Q. Elamine, he wanted to take these buildings and turn them into affordable housing with the use of federal tax credits for that purpose. These buildings also date back to the early 1900s, so they qualify for historic preservation tax credits. Those two types of tax credits, by the way, approximately account for about $37 million of the $59 million cost. The problem is he's just starting out in the development world, and by himself, he did not have the financial capability and the depth of experience and the track record to be able to go to a bank and get a loan and to get equity investors to help complete that financing package. So he approached local development companies here in the Milwaukee area, as well as I think at least one, maybe more than one in Northern Illinois, and was turned down. As he told me in the story I wrote for the Journal Sentinel and JS Online, he wasn't really surprised by that. I mean, disappointed, but not surprised given the location. Fortunately, an architectural firm, Continuum Architects, that he was working with, had worked with on another site, they knew about a development company out of Minneapolis called Roars Companies, led by a man named Brian Roars, because Continuum was doing work for a project they were doing, market-rate apartment project down in Walker's Point, where they were converting an old industrial building to high-end apartments. And Continuum introduced Brian Roars to Q. Elamine, and Brian Roars decided this was an investment that he wanted to get involved in. And what was interesting was, from Q's perspective, that was because Brian was from out of town and didn't really come into the situation with any preconceived notions about that location beyond what you would look at on black and white in terms of developer. In other words, the demographics of the area, incomes, how many people live in the area, what are the odds of attracting people to rent affordable housing there, etc. And as a result of Roars getting involved, and as a result of Q working very persistently to obtain those tax credits, as well as Continuum helping to maintain the historic preservation tax credits, that's kind of a niche of that architectural firm. This is all now coming together. They've gotten a commitment for a bank loan to fill in much of the private financing gap. And right now, as we speak, they are going through the Common Council review and they hope approval process for about $3 million in city funding that would come in the form of a tax incremental financing district. And your listeners are probably familiar with TIF districts. Basically, that money will come from the new property tax revenue generated by this development.
Yeah. You know, as you mentioned, development on Milwaukee's north side has been stunted for a long time. It hasn't grown in the same way it has in other parts of the city. But in the last couple of years, it seems like we've seen more and more projects that are showing up in these neighborhoods. Can you talk about a few of those?
Oh, sure. First of all, let's talk about one that has not really launched yet, one I'm sure most listeners are familiar with, and that's Century City. That's the business park that's replacing the former A.O. Smith / Tower Automotive manufacturing complex at approximately Capitol Drive and in Hopkins, roughly. You might recall Strauss out of Franklin was going to move their slaughterhouse and meat processing operation there. That was going to take up most of that. That got defeated after some of the neighborhood residents objected. There are a couple of industries that are active there. Telgo, which makes passenger rail cars, leases space in one of the few buildings kept from the old A.O. Smith days. And then Good City Brewing leases space in a new building that was built there. So that still needs to truly launch and get going. And it's been hurt in part because at that location, when you're trying to attract industries and distribution centers, they usually like to be a little bit closer to the interstate system. And that's a little bit of a drive from I-43. But then let's talk about some areas that have been more successful. And one that I continually talk about that I think a lot of people just aren't aware of because it's for, let's be blunt, for a lot of white people, it's out of sight, it's out of mind, but that's the Harambee neighborhood. And that's the neighborhood that extends north of downtown from roughly North Avenue going all the way north up to near Capitol Drive, kind of along Martin Luther King Drive is sort of the main north-south route. And we've seen over the years, and especially in recent years, affordable housing developed in that neighborhood, again, driven in part by tax credits. We've seen also, though, some various commercial developments, restaurants and other businesses coming into that area. And right now there's a big project pending just south of North Avenue, which is in the Harambee area, that and also the Hellyer Park neighborhood. And that's the conversion of the former Schuster's department store, one of the grand old department stores from Milwaukee's past that ceased to be a department store by approximately the early 70s. And it's being converted into offices for the Greater Milwaukee Foundation, Medical College of Wisconsin, and then some affordable housing. And Royal Capital Group is taking the lead on that, and that's another development firm run by a younger African-American man.
Well, like that project, some of these developments are really still in the works. And this is something we talked about a bit before this conversation, but there are a lot of protests that are going on and a lot of unrest in neighborhoods throughout the city, throughout the Milwaukee area, but specifically in Milwaukee's North Side neighborhoods. Is that a threat to development? Do developers see these kinds of social movements and say, well, maybe let's hold off on building there?
Well, when I did the story on Community Within the Corridor, the folks from Roars Company said, no, we're not tapping the brakes. We're going forward. And as I mentioned earlier, they are right now in real time proceeding to get city approval for one of the last chunks of the financing package, that TIF district. So it hasn't stymied that. In the Harambee neighborhood, when you talk about quote unquote unrest, we should probably differentiate here between peaceful protests, which has been the majority of the activity, people exercising their constitutional rights, their civil liberties to make their feelings known. Let's separate that from the incidents of crime, people vandalizing buildings, people breaking into buildings and stealing things. That was really confined to roughly that first weekend after the killing of George Floyd up in Minneapolis. And some of that did happen in the Harambee neighborhood, specifically right around the intersection of Locust and King Drive, where there's a district Milwaukee Police Department station. And I did a separate story in the aftermath of that and talked to people who work there and have property there. And I think the prevailing view is that it might slow down development, but it's not going to stop development. And I think it was summed up best by a gentleman named Randy Crump, who has been active in construction development for decades. And he said, there's still opportunities here for people who aren't afraid of black people. If you're a developer and you're not, if you don't have an inordinate fear of black people and you don't have an inordinate fear of neighborhoods that are mostly African American, look at the demographics here, look at the income characteristics, the availability of workforce, the proximity downtown, the availability of mass transit, you're going to see the benefits of coming here. By the way, incidentally, Mr. Crump, Randy Crump, he runs a company called Prism Technical Services, and they're a firm that's hired by developers and general contractors to consult with on obtaining hiring disadvantaged businesses and disadvantaged workers for different projects. And he also, incidentally, is the father of Lafayette Crump, who's been nominated to be the next city development commissioner, awaiting confirmation from the Common Council on that.
Hmm. So recognizing this is a fairly loaded question because we're in the middle of an economic downturn and we're in the middle of a pandemic, which has made a lot of kind of future planning difficult. What does the forecast look like for Milwaukee's Northside neighborhoods?
Well, given that some of these projects we've just been talking about, community within the corridor being one of them, some of the other ones that have an affordable housing element, I think actually the forecast is pretty good because affordable housing is one of the main components in many of these developments. And with affordable housing, it's usually just a matter of competing to obtain the tax credits from the federal and in some cases state governments. The typical history of developing affordable housing in Milwaukee and many other cities is those units get leased up just like that. I mean, you get them under construction and people are lining up to reserve them. So there'll always be a demand for affordable housing. And typically, restaurants and stores want to be near where people live. So when you drive population growth in a neighborhood by adding apartments, you get more demand for restaurants and supermarkets and hairstylists and, you know, you name it. That's what often drives that type of growth.
Tom Dakin covers commercial real estate for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he's a regular Lake Effect contributor. He spoke with Joy Powers, and you can find more of their conversations at wuwm.com.